From the K-12 High Speed Network in Imperial County, California, this is InfoSec. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of InfoSec, a podcast series for the K-12 public education sector. I'm Dr. Emil Ahangarzadeh. The information provided in this podcast series is intended to increase the security awareness of local education agencies and users, as well as to help them behave in a more secure manner within their work environment. While some of the tips may relate to maintaining a home computer, the increased awareness is intended to help improve your organization's overall cybersecurity posture. This is especially critical if employees access their work network from their home computer. So before we get going here, I want to point out that this podcast is going to be a little bit more on the technical side. So folks that have any kind of application development experience or server-side maintenance experience are really going to appreciate it, whereas folks who basically, you know, use the web to support the business of a district or for teaching and learning might get a little lost in the weeds. However, I suggest that it never hurts to get into the weeds a little bit and learn a little bit about the ins and outs of some of these technical subjects. And today's subject is clickjacking, which is an attack. It's a vector, and it's becoming more and more popular on the web. Here's how it works. You're on a website, and you see a button that says click here to make $1 million, and you go to click it, but what ends up happening is you're actually not clicking on a button. You're clicking on a picture that has a button that lives on top of it, and that button is transparent. So the action is there, but the opacity has been taken down to a zero, so you cannot even see it. But you click it, and what it basically does is it likes somebody's Facebook page, or it has you follow somebody that's on Twitter, or maybe add a particular parcel or a particular piece of shopping, like, I don't know, something you want to buy on your Amazon wish list, pushes it into your Amazon wish list, or in some cases, it even get into your banking. As a matter of fact, I heard about a report wherein a clickjacker was able to enable somebody's webcam and microphone without the victim knowing about it. So to combat against clickjacking attacks, developers need to understand how clickjacking attacks occur, along with existing solutions that are available to defend against these kinds of attacks. And that's what today's podcast is going to be all about. So to be absolutely clear, hijacking of click is the technical term, but it's referred to mostly as clickjacking. It's an attack vector. It steals clickable actions from victims and directs clicks towards a legitimate website, but without the knowledge of that victim. So to perform a clickjacking attack, what an attacker first does is they design a malicious web page that contains what's called an iframe, which holds legitimate web page content. Now, if you don't know what an iframe is, let me explain. An iframe is actually short for inline frame. It's a type of an HTML document that's embedded inside another HTML document on a website. So it's a website element. And it's often used to insert content from another source, like an advertisement, into a particular web page. That's what an iframe is. The iframe gets inserted on top of another web page, but the opacity level of that iframe is set very low to make it barely visible by a victim. So the malicious web page lures the victim to click on a visible element on the website. If a victim clicks on that visible element that's supplied by the attacker, it results in an action on the legitimate web page, like Twitter or Facebook, without the user wanting to take that action on those pages. So some common incidents due to hijacking of clicks include posting unwanted messages in Twitter without the knowledge of the person that's doing it, or sharing links, as well as liking other users on Facebook, or making particular profiles public. Clickjacking attacks are being used to generate lots and lots of money for large-scale botnet operators. So to address and to mitigate these kinds of attacks, the first step is to understand the basics of the attack types, as well as the capability of the state-of-the-art mitigation techniques that are available. So in this podcast, we're going to take a look at a detailed overview of some techniques that people who clickjack use. We're going to discuss advanced attack techniques that are built on top of existing defense mechanisms that are applicable at both the server and the client sides. And we'll also explore well-known anti-clickjacking solutions. To date, there are two kinds of widespread clickjacking attacks in the wild, and one's called tweet bombing, and the other is called likejacking. And in both attacks, an attacker tricks victims to click on Twitter's tweet or Facebook's like button using hiding techniques, causing a link to the attacker's site to be reposted to the victim's friends and thus propagating the link virally. These attacks increase traffic to the attacker's site and harvest a large number of friends and followers. So we classify clickjacking attacks into three types based on how users are forced or allured to click on objects out of context. The first one is where the target display has been manipulated. The second one, where there's a modification of the pointer location. And the third one is where there's a modification of timer events. And we're going to take a look at what these techniques are. So let's start with target display manipulation. This is where a user believes that he fully sees and recognizes the target element before clicking an object. An HTML element is rendered in an invisible frame where the element is clicked and can perform a legitimate action. But an attacker places another web page on top of the invisible iframe so that a victim doesn't understand that the click is effective for the invisible GUI element, the graphic user interface element. The hiding of the GUI element is done by making the iframe invisible based on cascading style sheet styling features, or CSS styling features. So for those of you who know CSS and HTML, what they do is they add a div tag and they call it iContainer. And it has a lower CSS Z index with an opacity level of 0. The div loads a clickable object from Facebook for an individual's profile. The URL represents a clickable like action element, which can be embedded in any web page. And if the element is clicked, then the profile of the user gets liked by the person who clicked it. Since the visibility of the div is 0, the loaded iframe will not be visible to the victim. So to lure the victim to click on the element, the attacker places a lucrative message like, "Click here to win an iPad" in the iframe. And that's what makes the victim think that clicking on the message is going to take him or her to another web page. But clicking the link is actually initiating a like action on Facebook for the profile of a particular user without the victim's knowledge. The next technique is called a modification of pointer location. So in this technique, a victim believes that the location where he clicks with mouse pointer is the place for triggering an input event. So the attacker displays a fake cursor to mislead the target of clickable objects. Using the CSS cursor property, an attacker can easily hide the default cursor and programmatically draw a fake cursor somewhere else. And as a result, when a victim clicks on an object, an action will be triggered for another object that's not intended by him. This technique is also referred to as cursor jacking. An alternative approach is to set a custom mouse icon to a deceptive image that has a close look and feel of a genuine cursor icon, except the coordinates are shifted by several pixels off the original position. The third type is called the modification of timer events, and in this attack type, victims believe that they have sufficient time to understand clickable objects and respond accordingly. So in other words, the user interface elements are manipulated after victims decide to click on the object. So people typically require a few hundred milliseconds to react to visual changes, and attackers can take advantage of our slow reaction to launch timing attacks. The target elements can be moved in milliseconds, whereas it might take some time for the user to perform a click. The attacker can also change the position of target clicks after the first click by changing the CSS properties. One common approach to prevent clickjacking attacks is to employ frame-busting code, which is just a special piece of JavaScript code that needs to be present at the beginning of each web page that needs protection. Specifically, if a web page needs to be prevented from being loaded in an iframe, then the code snippet can enforce that it's rendered at the top of the page. The code checks if a loaded web page is at the top window or not. If the current page is not in the top window, then it's loaded on the top window, thereby stopping the page loading the iframe. But it's possible to circumvent frame-busting code-based clickjacking defense techniques, and there's actually 6 advanced attack techniques that can be used to do just that. The first one is called multiple iframes. So in this attack, the target web page is loaded in an inner iframe and an outer iframe contains the inner iframe. Then there's event handler overriding. So while loading a legitimate web page in an iframe, a user can manually cancel the navigation. An attacker can mount a clickjacking attack under this circumstance by registering an on before unload handler method at the top of his malicious web page. So this handler is invoked when a page is about to be unloaded. The newly defined method can return a simple message to warn a victim of leaving the legitimate website. Something like says, hey, you're about to leave this website. Are you sure you want to leave or do you want to stay? And if a user chooses not to close that page, the action results in loading the target page in the iframe. Attack number 3 is called the no-content response. The event handler-based clickjacking attack requires user interaction. An alternative approach to avoid user interaction is to repeatedly submit navigation requests to a website and receiving HTTP responses of 204, which is a no-content response from the legitimate website. Receiving a no-content flushes the request and cancels the original request, forcing the original URL to load in an iframe. Then we have reflective XSS filtering. So browsers have built-in reflective cross-site scripting, or XSS, cross-site scripting filters that can match known attack signatures containing suspected JavaScript code snippets in request URLs. If JavaScript code is found, then the browser disables all inline JavaScript code received in the response page. And therefore, the frame-busting code present in a web page will not run at all. Then there's clobbering of objects. So some versions of browsers, which is one of the reasons why we really want folks to update their browsers, particularly Internet Explorer 7 and Safari 4.0.4, consider specific built-in objects as mutable attributes. So these objects can be redefined or overridden in a web page. An attacker can just redefine the related attributes that are used for frame-busting code, which will result in circumventing frame-busting techniques. And the last attack type to prevent frame-busting is called restricting JavaScript. Most folks who work on applications are very familiar with the fact that JavaScript can be disabled inside an iframe, so the victim's web page being loaded in the iframe can't execute frame-busting code to prevent clickjacking attacks. Now, there are other ways to prevent frame-busting, like double-clicking-based clickjacking or HTML5 sandboxing, but we're going to skip those because those get really, really technical. So what can you do about all of this stuff? Well, let's take a look at a couple of things. The bottom line is use Firefox. Firefox browser is incredibly powerful and it has some really impressive extensions that can support folks who are really afraid of clickjacking threats. So the first one is called ClickIDS. This is a Firefox extension. It compares the bitmap of the clicked object on a given web page to the bitmap of that object rendered in isolation, meaning without transparency inherited from a malicious parent element. It alerts users when the clicked element overlaps with other clickable elements. Unfortunately, ClickIDS cannot detect attacks based on partial overlays or cropping, and it shows false positive warnings. Then there's guarded ID. It has an added feature of clickjacking warning. It makes potential elements under clickjacking visible to the end user. It doesn't interfere with operations of legitimate iframes, or frames, or Ajax, or any script code. The guarded ID can prevent the browser from storing the keystrokes. Firefox also has another great extension called NoScript. NoScript is a Firefox browser extension, and it allows the execution of JavaScript code from user-specified websites. It protects against clickjacking attacks in the browser. NoScript complies with frame-busting code based on frame break emulation. So if a framed page contains a frame-busting script, it automatically replaces the framed page as the topmost document independent of the setting of the browser to enable or disable any JavaScript code. Now, if you're a server engineer at a school district, there are ways to detect clickjacking at the server side as well. One of them is referred to as the HTTP header. So from the server side, the XFrame Options HTTP response header can be used to indicate whether a page can be rendered in an iframe or not. The header can have three possible values, which I'm sure you're all familiar with if you are in this world. One is called deny, one is called same origin, and one is called allow from. But this technique requires sending HTTP header from each of the pages that need protection against clickjacking attacks. Another difficulty is the lack of support at the browser side to understand the header and act appropriately, especially if you have older versions of Internet Explorer and Firefox, because they'll just totally ignore the header. Now, a workaround for dealing with the lack of browser support for HTTP header-based solutions is to apply a special HTML head element containing a special style ID with no display for a framed page. The page is displayed only if it's located at the top window. So if the web page is loaded without any frame, then the defined style object is removed from the page and the original display is restored, if it's part of the code. So the bottom line is that clickjacking attacks are a threat for most users on the web who may accidentally click on an object not intended for it, and the generated click gets redirected to perform malicious activities like sending a message or liking an unknown individual's profile on a particular social network. Unfortunately, most websites still don't deploy basic defense mechanisms for clickjacking attacks. That's why it's so important for you to be aware of this kind of a threat vector and for you to perhaps put some of your own defenses up, like using some of those extensions that we mentioned, which were ClickIDS, which is a Firefox extension, GuardedID, which is also a Firefox extension, and the NoScript Firefox extension. Are you starting to get the picture that Firefox is a pretty good browser to use if clickjacking is something you're worried about? Now, I know what you're probably thinking to yourself. Hey, man, we are a Google district, or we have thousands of Chromebooks deployed. What are you talking about? What are we supposed to do about those? Well, Chrome has a couple of extensions that have been developed for clickjacking protection. The problem is that they're pretty old. They're about 4 years old, and this is April of 2017 that I'm recording this. One of them is called Clickjacking Reveal. And it's just like the Firefox extensions. It tries to warn you if it finds clickjacking techniques being deployed on a page that you're viewing. The other one's called Clickjacking Test. You might want to try one or both and see if they're working for you. Or if you have a clickjacking protection extension that you're aware of that I haven't mentioned for the Chrome browser, go ahead and send us an email through the k12tapped.org website. We'd be happy to mention it either on our Twitter feed, on our blog post, or in the next episode of the InfoSec
podcast series.
Thanks for listening, everyone. InfoSec is brought to you by the Cybersecurity Education Program, a service of the Technical Assistance Professional Development System, administered by the K-12 High Speed Network and funded by California Assembly Bill 104. The Cybersecurity Education Program provides state-of-the-art cybersecurity awareness curriculum for all California K-12 Public Education Agency employees at no cost. For more information, visit k12tapped.org/CEP. That's k12tapped.org/CEP. Be sure to follow us on Twitter for more cybersecurity information. We're at Tapped Security.